It's time to outline a book with me, and this is part two of taking a random idea and developing it into an engaging story. And today is all about the side characters, the supporting characters, and antagonist, and making sure they mean something to the overall story. Are you excited? Because I am. Let's jump in.
Hey friends, welcome to the Inspire to Write podcast. My name is Olivia Rowan. I'm a writer who loves Jesus, a dog mom, a story development nerd, and I have a huge passion for all things creative. I know you have a story on your heart that you're dying to tell. There is something unique inside of you that God is trying to call out through your creativity. But you get caught up in the details of, how do I write a good story? How do I make my characters come to life on the page? Does my book truly matter? You find yourself stuck writing chapter one over and over, burned out, discouraged, and on the brink of quitting. I made this podcast because I believe in your story. I want to encourage you through scripture and help you develop your craft, grow spiritually, and create with the creator in mind. If you are ready to make an impact through your book that will honor God no matter what market you choose to write for, then grab a notebook and some coffee and let's get inspired to write.
Hello everyone, I am so happy you're here. Today is part two in our outlining series, and today I really think things are going to start coming together. In the last episode, we got our story goal, we figured out a little bit about our main character and her transformation, but we left everything kind of vague, and I was confident in that because I know that as I move forward, things only get clearer. But you might have been like, wait, I'm confused, what's going on? Like, where is this going? And I think today, with focusing on our side characters, you'll start to see how this is all coming together. At least for me, when I see how these characters can interact with each other, bring out the best and bring out the worst in each other, things start falling into place. So I'm excited to get into that with you guys. But before I do, we are going to share our review of the day. I'm really appreciating everybody who is taking the time to review, and I want to get to everybody's reviews at some point in this show. But I'm very blessed to have everybody leave a review. But today, the review comes from Shay H. And she says, this show is the push she needed. This show is like a breath of fresh air. Olivia provides practical tips, tricks, and tools to help you get into the writing flow. At times, it is difficult to get into a good rhythm, but I have found this show to be very encouraging. Thank you, Shay H., for saying that, and I am really glad I can be here for you and everybody else who listens. It is truly my pleasure, and I appreciate the time you took to leave a review. And don't forget, if you are enjoying this show, you would be helping me out a lot by leaving a 5-star written review over on Apple Podcasts, and I might just feature your review on the show so I can thank you. I was going to say in person, but, you know, on the show. Now, let's dive into part two of this outlining series, and this is where things start to get fun. So just to recap from part one, if you haven't listened, please go back and listen. But just as a refresher for everybody, we are outlining a Cinderella story inspired by spring. And we decided in the last episode that our goal in writing this story was just to have fun, to let ourselves write, and to give ourselves permission to write something that, lack for a better word, is cheesy. Just let go and have fun. This story goal is going to help us grow as writers, and especially me, because I tend to get in my own way. And so with this goal in mind, I can stop myself when I'm getting off of track and I'm focusing in too much on trying to make things perfect. And if I'm paralyzed in that fear, I can say, nope, that's not the goal of this story. We're here to have fun. So pick the option that's the most fun to you and just run with it. And we also found our main character's transformation, which was related to the season of spring, where there's traits that are dormant inside of her that need to bloom. And her journey of transformation is going to push her towards that internal blooming that needs to happen, which, again, is very vague. but it's all going to come together, you guys. Just watch. So today is all about our side characters, antagonists, supporting characters, and there are a lot of great ones in Cinderella stories. So we have our Prince Charming, of course, our fairy godmother, and then the wicked stepmother, and then the stepsisters. A lot of fun characters to work with. How do we approach each one in a way that is fresh and new but true to the original story, all while being engaging and worth our time? And you guys already know my answer, because I believe every story element needs to tie back to transformation. And how do I do that with the side characters? Because our transformation here is all about our main character, right? Our Cinderella. And so everything needs to tie back into her. And the way I do that with my side characters is very simply, I think about, are they going to hinder her transformation or help her transformation? And then how can they mirror her need for transformation and the overall theme that, of course, relates to, you guessed it, her transformation. This is going to become more clear as we go on. Okay, so I had an idea as I was reviewing my notes from the last episode, so let me see if I can communicate it, because I think it would be perfect to help tie in our supporting characters. I love playing off of the seasons and going from winter to spring. So what if each side character had their own transitions from winter to spring, or they stay stuck in winter because of their bitterness, or they are in their spring because of their openness, and each one is trying to either encourage her forward into the next season of her life or keep her in that winter. I hope that makes sense, but I really think that's a great way to illustrate if they help or hinder her transformation. And it'll be a great way to visualize where each character lies. So I'm thinking, like, our Prince Charming character, he's already in his spring. He's confident. Things go easy for him. Things go well for him. He's charming, you know? And then fairy godmother, like, she is spring, she's got this, like, she wants to help transition Cinderella into her season of spring. And then we've got our antagonists, who are bitter and just stay in the winter, and they want to drag Cinderella down with them. And our main character is in that in-between where you don't know where she's going to end up. Is she going to move on with her life and go into this next beautiful season that's more fruitful? Or is she going to stay in winter and allow bitterness or fear to overcome her? Oh, I just love this idea. Guys, I did not expect to love it as much as I do. This isn't normally the kind of things that I write, but I'm loving it. I hope you are too. And I hope I'm making sense. So right now we have a lot of abstract concepts that are just floating around that need a physical house, if you know what I mean. So let's start fleshing out even further who these people are. Starting with Prince Charming. So I have a list here, and I'm going to randomize it to see what we get, but it's like different types of Prince Charming characters. So like famous singer, famous actor, popular kid, stupid rich for absolutely no reason, like that kind of thing. And so I'm going to randomize it and then see what we get. Do I have one that I'm secretly hoping for? Yes. Are there some that I really don't want to deal with? Absolutely. But in the name of a random idea and taking what comes and developing a story with it anyway, we are going with it. Oh, no, 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 no. Dang it. That was the one I really didn't want. But our Prince Charming is the popular kid. So that automatically, like, takes us into high school, which I don't love. But we will deal with it because we are overcomers. Okay. And then I might just make him stupid rich for no reason anyway, because I want to. And I have that power, so. So we're kind of going more in an Austin Ames direction, which is fine. I like another Cinderella story. I love it. But that wasn't the direction I wanted to go in. I didn't want it to be confined within a high school setting, but as a creative, you take these boundaries and you run with them and you use them to make you a better artist. So we're doing it. I don't love writing about teenagers and teenagery things. It's not usually what I go for. I don't mind watching it, but it's not really what I enjoy creating, so maybe this will really stretch me. I don't know. Okay, so our Prince Charming is the most popular kid in school, and he's really rich, and I would really like his family to, like, own something ridiculous. Like, I don't know, like, something so unreasonably upper class that it's almost ridiculous. But I don't know what that would be right now. But that's okay. We don't have to. I would also love for all these small little details to just feed into the spring vibe. So not only do I want it ridiculously rich people coded, but I want it to have something to do with, like, spring, flowers, all the fragrant, wonderful vibes that you get. So, like, maybe some sort of, like, ridiculously expensive perfume or something. I don't know. I don't know. Well, think about it. It needs to say stupid rich, and it needs to say spring. Like, I want something, I want someone to be able to pick up this book and just feel like spring gave them the biggest, warmest, happiest hug. That's what I want. And our Prince Charming, who we have to give it a name so I don't keep calling him Prince Charming, but he lives in spring. His life is spring. Things are good. His attitude is good. Life is good. And so I want that imagery to be around him as well. I think I want him to be, like, a really big sweetheart. I'm wondering about, like, his parents and his family, if I should make them rude and spoiled, or if they are the type of family that came from nothing. Like, his father came from nothing and he built up this kingdom, or, like, he built up his wealth and he wanted to instill those lessons into his son, so he's grateful for everything that he has. And I feel like, realistically, if we're to create a character that's not a spoiled rich kid that is nauseating, then I want his parents to also be kind and know where they have come from. And thinking about Cinderella's transformation, I think we can tighten it up by saying, not that she's afraid to speak up about something, but maybe she's afraid that she doesn't have value, and maybe that's what's keeping her from truly blooming, because she doesn't think she has anything to offer the world. But our Prince Charming character sees the beauty within her and challenges her emotionally to accept that beauty, because it is kind of an emotional leap of faith to trust that somebody will love you for who you are, and that you have value and that you have worth. So I think that'd be a great way to showcase that she has fully made that transition into spring, because she has accepted that she is of value, and allows somebody to love her and allows her heart to be broken, because no matter what, she knows she has value. I hope that makes sense. Yeah, I think we're in a really good place with that character, and we can let him be for now, and I would love to move on to our fairy godmother character. So we're doing, like, our spring type characters first, the sunshine characters, if you will. So I love fairy godmother. I think she's underappreciated as a character, and maybe I feel that way because I feel like if I was a character in a Cinderella story, I would definitely be the fairy godmother, because I love propelling people towards their dreams. But you know what? So I would love for her to be older, wiser, mentor type character. I think she needs to be related to her workplace, which is pretty typical of Cinderella stories. So I think our Cinderella needs to work at a flower shop, because, I mean, come on, spring flowers, the beauty, the fragrance, the colors, it will fit the aesthetic for sure. And it would be really cool if that flower shop often services like the really rich, ridiculous events that our Prince Charming character has. So maybe that gives them a connection point in that way. Maybe she owns the flower shop. Yeah, she probably owns it. And our Cinderella works there for her. Or we can go in a direction of our fairy godmother is somebody who is undervalued by society and everyone overlooks her except for our Cinderella character. I don't know what that would make her because I don't think she could be a business owner. And be the ostracized by society type fully. I think she would have to be in a profession that no one takes too seriously. But I don't know. I would have to think about that. And then, of course, the fairy godmother character can be split up across multiple people who love her and want what's best for her. So it could be the owner and someone else. Or it could be, yeah, like maybe the owner and maybe the owner has a sister. Oh my gosh, wait. Okay, because maybe the owner could have a sister on the spectrum, which is a very close subject to my heart because I have a sister who is autistic and on the spectrum, and she is beautiful and wonderful and lovely, and sometimes I do feel like she is undervalued because of her autism, which she shouldn't be because she's one of the best humans on the planet. And we could play into that as well, that her love for both the flower shop owner and her sister really blesses them, and then they bless her in return when she needs it. So yeah, I think I kind of like that idea for right now. I might change it, but that's a good jumping off point, I think. Because in the original Cinderella's, she went to multiple balls and ran away from the prince. There could be like a school dance where some of this starts, but then like the big event, like the big main event is some fancy gala that his rich family is throwing. And because of the florist's connection with the family, they get her into the gala and all that kind of fun stuff. So that could be a fun connection point there. And you kind of see how I'm just like spitting out all these ideas, all these random bullet points, just following almost in a stream of consciousness way my different ideas, and just getting them out there. And they may not be the ideas I end up going with, but they're going to be the ideas that help me develop something that I'm really happy with. And so I feel like we have a baseline of not only character types, but something underneath that flows into the whole story, because you can see how these characters are going to challenge our Cinderella to join them in this spring season in their life and push her forward. But now it's time to talk about the characters who want to hold her back. And that would be, first up, the two stepsisters. So I see them as really young, spoiled, ignorant, and they're kind of just the product of their mom. Their mom made them this way, and they're kind of blindly following this bitterness that she has laid out before them. But I really think it would be interesting if one of the stepsisters at least glances out and towards this spring and thinks about going out there and away from her bitterness, but then ultimately just succumbs to her tragic flaws and just stays the wicked stepsister, at least in this story. She could have her own story one day, but in this story, she succumbs to her tragic flaws and stays bitter. But I think if we have her on the edge, it would really help illustrate the transformation and the abstract ideas of that transformation in a physical way that would make the story more interesting and her character more interesting. So I like the idea of one sister just like completely sold out into this bitterness, is like a mini me of her mom, and then the other sister is kind of a pendulum. Like, one day she's in this bitterness, and the next day she's like, but what if I let it go? Now I have to think about, I mean, the wicked stepsisters are usually pretty one-dimensional in that they have, like, one goal that they're fixated on, and that is the prince. Like, they want the prince. They want the materialistic things. They want to be at the rich, fancy parties and be the wife of someone who can be able to afford the finer things in life. So I think I'll keep that. Like, that'll be their singular goal. But the one who, like, pendulum swings, I think there's a little tiny piece of her that wants true love and not just materialistic things. But ultimately, her greed will overcome her. So I'm okay with leaving them there in that kind of vague but slightly developed state and moving on to our stepmother. Last but certainly not least, we have a extremely intelligent, extremely manipulative and controlling, bitter woman who just absolutely hates the sunshine that Cinderella represents and wants to do anything to take it out and to promote her daughters into a place of prosperity, which to her is money. So if Cinderella gets an ounce of self-worth, our stepmother is going to rip it away. I'm kind of glad I picked a Cinderella story for this series because those characters are pretty straightforward. But they are tied into this idea of bitterness and openness, staying in winter, moving on to spring. And I really think that will help our story be unique and engaging. And it'll give us some visual imagery to help represent these qualities of the characters. So everything about Cinderella's stepfamily is going to be very cold and dark and dreary and represent winter, while her friends and her fairy godmother and the Prince Charming are going to be leaning into the imagery of spring. And then she is on the line between those two things, and you're going to be very engaged to see, does she fall into the cold darkness, or does she move forward into the sunshine and the blooming flowers and all that kind of fun stuff? Okay, to me, this starts to feel like it's coming together. If it still feels really vague to you, that's because I understand that it is, and there is, like, more physical housing things that we need to develop around these abstract ideas. But I really start seeing it come together when I just lay these very basic foundations and I know I can build more on top of them. So I think we're in a good spot for today. Next time, I believe we're talking about setting and how that can relate to transformation. I'm really excited about that because I think a lot of people don't understand how much setting plays a part in our character's journey. But until then, I hope you enjoyed the show, and remember, I can't wait to read your book, so please go write it.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If this podcast is helping you or encouraging you in any way, I would really appreciate it if you would leave a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts to help this show grow. And don't forget to subscribe and share this show with a friend or somebody who you know needs to be inspired to write.